translation than Srila Prabhupada's purport. Because he was near me, it was possible for me to conquer with great dexterity the powerful king of heaven, Indradev, along with his demigod associates, and thus enable the fire god to devastate the Kandava forest. And only by his grace was a demon named Maya saved from the blazing Kandava forest. Thus we could build our assembly house of the wonderful architectural workmanship, where all the princes assembled during the performance of the Rajasuya Yajna and paid you tributes. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The demon Maya, Danava, was an inhabitant of the forest Kandava. And when the Kandava forest was set on fire, he was asked protection from Arjuna. Arjuna saved his life, and as a result of this, the demon felt obliged. He reciprocated by building a wonderful assembly house for the Pandavas, which attracted the extraordinary attention of all state princes. They felt the supernatural power of the Pandavas, and thus without grudge, all of them submitted and paid tributes to the emperor. The demons possess wonderful and supernatural powers to create material wonders, but they are always disturbing elements of the society. The modern demons are the harmful material scientists who create some material wonders for the disturbance in society. The example, the creation of nuclear weapons has caused some panic in human society. Maya was also a materialist like that, and he knew the art of creating such wonderful things. And yet Lord Krishna wanted to kill him. But when he was chased both by the fire and the wheel of Lord Krishna, he took shelter of such a devotee as Arjuna, who saved him from the wrath of the fire of Lord Sri Krishna. Devotees are therefore more merciful than the Lord, and in devotion service the mercy of the devotee is more valuable than the mercy of the Lord. Both the fire and the Lord ceased from chasing the demon as soon as both of them saw the demon was given shelter by such a devotee as Arjuna. This demon, feeling obliged to Arjuna, wanted to do him some service to show his gratefulness. But Arjuna declined to accept anything from him in exchange. Lord Sri Krishna, however, being pleased with Maya for his taking shelter of a devotee, asked him to render service unto King Yudhishthira by building a wonderful assembly house. The process in which, by the grace of the devotee, the mercy of the Lord is obtained, and by the mercy of the Lord, a chance to serve the Lord's devotee is obtained. The club of Bhimsena was also a gift of Maya Dhanava. Om Agyanti Mandasya Gana Gana Salakya Chaksumiritamne Tasme Sri Guruve Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapita Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So the story of this the Kandava forest is as follows in the Mahabharata, how Agni had taken a lot of sacrificial ghee, so his digestion was disturbed. So he wanted to eat this Kandava forest because the herbs and plants were there to revive his health. But Indra was not allowing him to eat that forest because I think one of the snakes was there of Indra. That forest was dear to Indra. It was Indra's forest or something. But then Agni approached Lord Brahma and told Lord Brahma, "What should I do? I need this forest and Indra stopping me." So Lord Brahma advised, "In Agni, you approach Lord Krishna and Arjuna. They're not different from Narayan. And they'll help you. So Agni went, and then with the help of Krishna and Arjuna, Agni was in the fight. Arjuna was, he put arrows to protect from Indra's rain from falling into the forest. In this way, Agni could swallow the forest. But the lesson to learn in this instance is that even the demigods submit to authority. Demons don't submit to authority. In this case, Agni took shelter of Lord Brahma, and then under him he took shelter of Lord Krishna and Arjuna, and in this way he got his what he wanted to do was to get the forest. But this was through blessings. So in this purport, it shows an example of taking shelter of devotees, how even demons can be saved from whatever is meant to happen to them. So example is there, how Krishna is inclined to his devotees. There's a few examples given. I'll give some examples of that. This is a commentary on the Divasha Muni's interaction with Lord Narayan and Ambarish Maharaj, written by Shivaram Maharaj. It's called Sadhava Hidayamayam, Saints of My Heart. So there's a few quotes, interesting quotes in here. So so this is an interaction with Divasha Muni and Lord Narayan. So standing before the kneeling Brahmana, Lord Narayan said, "Did you really think that Brahma or Shiva, who are both fully under my control, could save you from my personal weapon?" Divasha did not reply, but turned his face towards the Supreme Lord, his heart slightly comforted by Narayan's unsurpassable beauty and kindly smile. Seeing the demigods all under my control, they cannot transgress my will. But in the same way that Brahma and Shiva are unable to save you because they are dependent on me, so also I cannot save you. Divasa's eyes opened with disbelief. "You cannot?" "No, I cannot, because I am also dependent on whom?" This is Divasa Muni asking. "On my pure devotees." You are dependent on them? Yes, just like individual souls are dependent on other souls, so I am also dependent on my devotees. But even if it is your nature to become subordinate to the will of your devotees, that is not something that they expect of you. Moreover, however you may behave by your grace, your lordship continues to remain supremely independent. The Lord nodded his head in a way that both agreed and disagreed with Divasa. "What you say is not untrue, but I am independent. But by my will, I become dependent on sadhus." "But why?" Divasa Muni is asking, "why?" "Because I am unable to give up my feelings of indebtedness towards them. My heart is conquered by the devotees." "My heart is conquered by the devotion of those saints who are free of every kind of desire, including the ultimate desire of impersonal liberation." The Lord paused for a moment to emphasize his last words to impersonalist Divasa, and then continued, Because they always think of how to serve me in the way best, I cannot help but be controlled by them. Appealing to Duvasa's sensitivities, Lord Narayan said, "Can you not understand? By constantly keeping me in their affectionate thoughts, my devotees have captured me in their hearts, and I have become their prisoner." A prisoner? Yadivasa Muni is asking. Yes, by their love, devotees have seized me, overcome me, and kept me tightly in their adoring grasp. I am like a person haunted by his beloved. Wherever I may be, Vaikuntha or in the material world, I remain tightly bound up in my devotees' hearts. The Lord again paused, then with a smile added, "And I relish it, for their love nourishes me." Casting a glance over his shoulders to the Sudarshan Chakra, Duvasa cautiously spoke up, "But don't you feel compassion towards me, seeing my suffering? I sympathize with you, but my heart is with my devotees. Although I offer them all kinds of liberation, my devotees will not accept my submission. Therefore I am compromised. With what can I repay them? The only thing they know is me, and also I forcibly give them my heart. And they happily take it and make it one with their own. So when you ask whether I feel compassionate for your situation, I reply that because my devotees have made my heart one with theirs, my mercy too is one with theirs. When you have received the mercy of Ambarish, then I will be able to feel compassion for you, but not until my mercy follows the mercy of my devotees. Everyone, including you, know this." Duvasa was passive. Knowing his thoughts, the Lord addressed them, "O Duvasa, I am sure that you know I am subordinate to the will of my devotee. You must remember when Dwaka was once attacked by 10 powerful demons and you were at the head of the delegation that fled to Sutala, the planet of Bali Maharaj, to induce me in my form of Vamana to save your city. What did I answer you?" "O best of Brahmanas, I am not independent because I am purchased by my devotion. I am purchased by devotion and by that alone I am now the order carrier of Bali. I am completely controlled by the king of the Daityas. So my dear excellent Brahmana, please go and ask the demon Bali, son of Virochana. So if he orders, I shall at once do whatever you want. Then you approach Bali Maharaj to release me. But even when you explain the danger in danger to Dwarka and threaten to fast until death, the devoted king would not part from me for a moment. Instead, Bali Maharaj said, 'O best of Brahmanas, let fate take its course in Dwarka, and may you keep to your vow, but I can never be separated from those lotus feet that are so dear to the foremost demigods. And so you and your delegation return to Dwarka without me. As such, as I emphasize with your cause, it was not in my power to transgress the will of Bali Maharaj.'" So it shows how Krishna is inclined towards his devotees. Yes, so even in the times of the Mahabharata, there were a few instances where even the Kauravas, they got the mercy because the devotees intervened in getting them the mercy. Like Dronacharya, he got the mercy because Bhima chastised him very heavily, telling him, what kind of Brahmana are you? You know, given against Krishna's side, you're not fighting going to the line of Dharma. You're fighting against the devotees of the Lord. It gave him heavy chastisement. So, better you drop your weapons and be a true Brahmana. So, because Dronacharya had affection for the Pandavas, so then he dropped his weapons. So, it seems from this example how, by getting the mercy of the devotees, it's easy to digest in a way that you can get Krishna's mercy very quickly. Whereas if one is going to directly go for Krishna's mercy, it can be hard to digest. Because when Krishna does the correction, it can be in a way that will shake the deep person up. I had an you see that when in the preaching of Krishna consciousness, you see how there are certain individuals who try and do it their way, but then you see how the purification they go through is quite a lot. Whereas if they accepted what the acharyas have said and what the devotees are saying, then the mercy becomes more of a loving way of how Krishna is reciprocating with them in a nice way. Example is there of just like I had instance of contacting a devotee. He was serious about his chanting and practicing for many years. I think at some point he was cooking for the deities here. But then he stopped all that, got back into earning money, didn't come so much. But then there was a shake-up. This coronavirus came in. The father left his body through the virus, and the son survived somehow, but the shake-up was quite heavy. The son is recovering from his health now. So, for the devotee, Krishna personally intervenes to give the message that actually this is not your home. You have to come back to me. And we see that even in the ISKCON with devotees who have gone through issues of health, and it's like a shake-up call for them to tell them, like, look, don't take spiritual life lightly. You take it seriously. So, there was an interesting story in this connection with how Krishna always humbles the devotees, because even the demigods, they're also devotees, but they just they have too much opulence in the heavenly planets, so it's easier for them to get diverted from the spiritual path sometimes. They get too proud. So there's one story how once time the demigods won a fight with the demons. And they became very proud. So Lord Vishnu came in the form of a yaksha, the heavenly being. He came in that form. And Parvati saw that form, and Indra was quite amazed by that form. So Indra sent Agni to find out who that person was. So Agni went, and the yaksha asked Agni, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Agni, the fire god. I can burn anything up." So the yaksha told Agni, "Can you burn this blade of grass?" So yaksha, the Agni was burning everything, but he couldn't burn the blade of grass. Agni went back, and Indra asked Agni, who is this? So Agni said, "I forgot to ask." Indra sent the wind god. So why you went? And the yaksha asked, "Why? Who are you?" He said, "I am Vayu, the wind god. I can blow anything." So the yaksha told Vayu, "Can you blow this blade of grass?" So Vayu was blowing everything, but he couldn't blow the blade of grass. So Vayu was confused. He went back to Indra. Indra asked, "So who was he?" "I've got to ask." So now Indra's going to go. And then he meets Parvati, and he asks Parvati, "Who is this person?" "This is Lord Vishnu, came to cut your pride." So ultimately, from this story, we can see that ultimately we are just instruments in Krishna's hands. We're like puppets. So So there's two sides of this point. It says, if you get the mercy of a devotee, you can get Krishna's mercy very quickly. Whereas if one upsets a devotee or offends a devotee, one can get it's like dealing with fire. You get burnt or you get purified. So there's an example of this devotee, Sachi Sutta. They wrote a book, Salted Bread, right? At some point, he was in a prison. He got put into prison. And there was one security guard. He was really giving a hard time to the devotees. And the Sachi Sutta, probably he couldn't tolerate this. He said, "Why are you giving hard time to the devotees? You know, what have they done to you?" And he cursed that prisoner. He said, "You'll die very quickly." Jai Shri Radha Gokulnanda ki jai. So then this person, he was going in his car, you know, with his family somewhere. And the car suddenly came over a cliff and fell down. Just show the point that always devotees can give because they're representing Krishna's mercy also, so they know how to benefit the person they're dealing with. So there's a quote here, a few points. So we can see another example of this is like Dhritarashtra. He also got the mercy. Now Dhritarashtra's destiny wasn't very good actually, because he made offenses to the Pandavas, and he was going to be suffering heavy because he had knowledge. Vyasadev came to him to rectify him. Sanjay tried to rectify him, Vidura tried to rectify him, Krishna tried to, but he wasn't open for rectification. But Vyasadeva got the mercy of Vidura. So Vidura saved Dhritarashtra from suffering in hell. Because Vidura finally came and told Dhritarashtra, what are you doing? Eating the remnants of your enemies. Bhima, who you always wanted to kill, is feeding you now. So Dhritarashtra woke up and he followed Vidura's advice. And in this way he got free from the suffering he was meant to go through. So we can see how by the getting mercy of the devotees, Krishna's mercy is easy, is more lovingly taken in. So there's an interesting episode in the Chaitanya Bhagavat to show the point on how what offenses lead to. Because we can see Dhritarashtra, because he made offenses, he couldn't take the line of Narottama, which was the line of pure devotional service. He had to go a different path, the line of Dhira, going to the Himalayas, doing austerity and getting his body burnt up in this way. He got a chance to become more purified eventually. So there's one pastime in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is Antyakanta, part 1, chapter 4. There was this Brahmana Gopal Chapala. He made offenses to the Srivas Thakur. He put the Durga paraphernalia outside his house. He wanted to defame Srivas Thakur. So, but Srivas Thakur, being advanced, he's Narada Muni himself. So he just called the other Brahman and said, look, everyone knows my situation. So they couldn't accept that. They cleared everything up. But later on, this Gopal Chapala, he got leprosy. So one time Lord Chaitanya came, and his Gopala Chapala ran to Lord Chaitanya and said, please save me from my hellish condition. I've suffered so much now, this leprosy is burning my body. Please save me from this. And Lord Chaitanya, he explained to him that this leprosy is just the beginning of your suffering. Anyone who makes Vaishnava aparad, this is the beginning of his suffering. And when he goes to hell, Yamaraj will put him in 84,000 hells. 84,000 hells. He put him in 84 different kinds of hellish situations. So Lord Chaitanya, he explained, the only way you can overcome this offense to Gopal Chapala, he gave the example, just like if you get a thorn in your foot. Vaishnava aparad. Vaishnava aparad, So Lord Chaitanya gave the example, if you get a thorn in your foot, the best way to take it out, you get another thorn and take the thorn out like that. So by apologizing to that devotee, then you become forgiven from that offense. We can see how from this lesson we can take it that the devotional service is a very serious thing. We can't take it lightly. It's the ultimate reality. Everything in the material world is temporary. Everything is crumbling. It won't last forever. The devotional service is the higher reality, which is happening, is eternal. It's the ultimate thing everyone should aspire for, because is the nature of the soul to be linked to Krishna. The example is given like sun and sunshine. No one just says shine, they say sunshine. So the jiva, the soul and Krishna are eternally linked. There's never separation. Internal relationship is there. So by understanding this, we can attain our eternal happiness. But when we separate from Krishna, example is given, you can have many noughts, many zeros, but if there is no one, the zeros have no meaning. One is there, the zero has meaning. 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, like that. So the one is Krishna. And the other thing to understand is, when you talk of Krishna, Krishna is never alone. So example is given like a king. A king is always with his entourage, ministers, soldiers, like that. So in the same way, Krishna is never alone. He's with his associates. So we should never separate Krishna, devotees from Krishna. Devotee is always linked to Krishna. There are many other examples to show this point. I mean, so we can say how this teachings which we are following through Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're coming through the line of kings. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was spoken through the line of kings. So Prabhupada explained, so similarly we are also in the line of kings because we are coming in line of this knowledge. So by understanding this knowledge and giving it to others, we can help them also become free from the cycle of birth and death. Any comments or questions, corrections? Well, how Krishna and the living entity is never alone is the understanding is the more we understand seeing through the eyes of scriptures, people usually have faith in mundane vision. They try to see through the mundane vision. The more we learn to see through the eyes of scriptures and the advanced devotees, then our connection to Krishna becomes strong. The more we depend on the mundane vision, then we are covered by the material energy more. So you'll find like those who depend on their, how do you say, they try and speculate to understand who Krishna is, or they try and debate. These kind of people, generally, they don't read scriptures. They try and work things out on their own way. But if you follow the line of the acharyas, then the mercy is there. Mercy is open. Some people are into law of austerity. They like austerity. But that's not the way of doing it. It's like Vishwamitra, he did 60,000 years of austerity. But then he fell down by Mendaka coming. But if Vishwamitra actually approached the acharyas, the acharyas are always there. If he approached the acharyas, then that connection to Krishna would have been very easy for him. But because he didn't learn that way, he went through a line of austerity, he learned the difficult way. So Krishna is always guiding us through the devotees. He's guiding us through other people. guiding us through scriptures. But people are very strong-minded on their views. That's the problem. Just like there was an example, three Western people came, the father and their two sons. So I explained the deities to them, everything. I explained about the Chanamrita. And they were vegans, you know. So when I explained about the Chanamrita, the father was open, he took the Chanamrita. He was okay with that, but the sons didn't take. So that's the difference between having, maybe the father was humble, you know, realized this is a spiritual thing, it's not normal. So he took it. The sons were too strong-minded on their views. So we should have, our vision should be in the line of the acharyas and the scriptures. And then everything would be okay. We get proper vision how to go forward. We should not rely on these, because everyone has to accept an authority. It's not like you can learn by your own strength. You have to have some authority to learn from. But the problem is nowadays, people minimize God's laws and they put man-made laws higher. So because people want to be cheated, so Krishna arranged his cheaters to cheat them. But at the same time, the God's laws are always there. The saints are always there to guide people. Just like one time I was doing Bhagavad Gita class, some years back. And one Indian man, he came in. He heard some Bhagavad Gita, which I was speaking. And then I got him to buy a Krishna book. So he got the Krishna book and he said, yes, my relationship with Krishna is private. I'll do it my way. So like that, if they're open to the view of what the acharyas are saying, then the mercy is open. Because we have to realize that Krishna is there. Without his mercy, you can't digest your food. You can't work properly. You can't have proper intelligence. You can't do anything. It's just, unfortunately, Maya is also testing. Because Maya is Krishna's pure devotee. So she's testing whether you want to serve Krishna or disturb Krishna. For those who are submissive to Krishna's will, then he reciprocates with them by sending devotees, looking after the person. And we have many examples of him in Prabhupada's time, isn't it? There was one drunk, street bum, he came to Prabhupada, isn't it? And he paid obeisances. And then Prabhupada told the devotees, clean him up. And became one of the big book distributors. So we have to be open for the. We have to go by how the Srila Prabhupada wants us to do. Then the mercy is there. The path is easy for those who are simple-hearted. It's difficult for those who are crooked. Prabhupada said in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, he's commented how some people think we have to go to the Himalayas to do austerities, have to fast, do different yajnas to get the Lord's mercy. But actually, Krishna's in the heart. You don't have to do much. You take to the path of devotional service and the mercy is there. But people who are stubborn in nature, for them to appreciate devotional service is difficult. So we have to let go of this stubborn nature. And that goes by studying what the acharyas are teaching us through their writings. Like Prabhupada has given everything to his books. And Narottam Das Thakur, he's saying, your word jnanis, yogis, thagis and mixed devotees. You take the line of pure devotional service. Take guidance from advanced devotees. Then the mercy is there. Any other comments or questions? David.
Hare Krishna, nice class, Srinivasa Prabhu. I have a question about Vaishnava Aparad. Is there any other way that you can make amends for Vaishnava Aparad if it's not possible to apologize to the devotee?
Well, I heard of Vishnachakya Thakur, he gives three views on that. He says, first is you go and apologize to the Vaishnava. Generally, he will forgive. But if he's in an angry mood, you try and serve him in some way. And if he's not still pacified by that, then you take shelter of the holy name. If one should not think that I can directly take shelter of the holy name and not apologize to the Vaishnava who have offended. That's the last sign of pride. But you try and apologize to the Vaishnava, generally he'll forgive. But if not, if he's in an angry mood, then you try and serve him in some way. And if by serving him, he's still not pacified, then you take shelter of the holy name. The holy name will rectify everything.
Thank you.
I think Godrum will be high, probably.
Thank you for the nice class. You were talking about the holy name and offenses and things, so something came to mind. One gentleman came up to me and he said, I'm not going to chant anymore. He said, I commit too many offenses. So I'm going to stop chanting. So then I said to him, if you commit offenses, if you're offensive while chanting, it doesn't mean that you should stop chanting. The remedy is actually you should chant even more. Mm-hmm. Just as the ground is the only support for one whose feet have slipped, so the holy name alone, you have to. If you committed offenses against the holy name, then you take shelter of the holy name again by chanting even more. And then he was thinking, he said, oh, I shouldn't have said that to him because now I've got to chant even more.
Jai. Antaraj Shibad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.